What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Ruben Torres, Connected with Ruben Torres podcast. Want to thank everybody, man, for all the support that that has been coming in. You guys have been keeping us on the new and noteworthy for at least the full 8 weeks since the first day we released. And I just want to thank you guys for the true support that you guys have been since day one. So if this podcast has helped you guys in any way or has been any kind of motivation for you to start anything or do anything for yourselves, please continue to spread it around, share it with your friends. Let them know that in order to help us, they could subscribe, give us a rate and a review in order for us to keep kind of climbing the charts here as we go, so that we can continue to get support from our sponsors and advertisers. So with that being said, we are going to jump into this episode with my boy Eddie Amaya from Iron Mule Armrests. And he's got a lot of crazy stories, man. Me and him go way back. And he's going to kind of share some stuff, his near-death experience, his new product launch that he's got going, and a whole lot of other stuff. So this episode, again, is brought to you by our boy Anthony Medina, AM Law Group. You can catch him over at sdlawfirm.com. And you know, he's from here in San Diego, and he's the one who actually connected me with Eddie Amaya. So that's the connection right there. But he's been doing a lot of stuff here in San Diego, helping a lot of nonprofits, helping a lot of people with their new businesses. So make sure you reach out to him, my boy Anthony Medina, sdlawfirm.com. And don't forget to check out Love Thy Neighbor. Make a little donation, send a little something our way so we can keep the movement going. The Love Thy Neighbor movement.com. You can check out some of the stuff we're doing in San Diego and Tijuana and Modesto. So make sure you check that out. Also, one of the biggest reasons that we've been here is the support from Milton Motion. My boy Tim Hernandez, man, make sure you guys check him out. He's got a podcast he's doing as well, Friends versus Foes. And he's got a lot of cool boxing stuff, man. So you guys got to check out what he's doing. Anyway, let's get into this episode with my boy Eddie Amaya. Let's do this. Let's get connected. Get connected, connected with Ruben.
If you're C-O-N-E-C-T-A-D-O, you already know about the show, so let's go. It's your music and lifestyle, fashion profile, the entertainment source for everything you want to know about. North to the south, the east to the west side, stay connected with Ruben Torres worldwide, so let's go. Across the globe, well respected, beasting on an industry. Connected.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Connected Show, Connected with Ruben Torres. Today, I'm sitting with a good friend of mine, Eddie Amaya, with Iron Mule Armrests. And we're out here in his shop out here in South San Diego in Chula Vista. Yeah. So it might get a little crazy. There's some automobile shops next door and all kinds of craziness. And
a checkpoint.
checkpoint right in front of where we're at. Yeah, all kinds of madness going on.
Welcome to the jungle.
Yeah, we got a packed house here today. And wanted to come and catch up with everything you're doing. How you doing today, Eddie?
Doing great, Ruben. How you doing, man?
Man, you know.
It's good to see you, brother. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been what, a year maybe?
We sat down and actually hung out. Yeah. It's been a long time, but we've seen each other at Chicano Park. We hung out.
Yeah, that Chicano was Park fun. Day. That was good.
Yeah, families got together. That was good.
So the reason I'm bringing Eddie on, man, he's not only got a great inspirational story, but he's a rising entrepreneur. Always, as long as I've known him, always been involved in different businesses and promoting everybody else as well. So you're on a journey right now.
Yeah. I just started a tour called The Struggle Is Real Tour. Because the struggle is real right now.
I love the name. Thank you. But before we even go into that, man, if I can share the story, you have a great backstory behind everything. For those that don't know, Eddie isn't even supposed to be alive today,
right?
And Eddie got in a horrible car accident a few years back, and hand of God is miracle. He's a walking miracle, and it's always been inspirational every time you tell the story to me. So if you can't share a little bit of that,
yeah, definitely, man. It was 2011, day before New Year's. got into a terrible car accident. Combination of me having a little bit in my system, but I was rear-ended by a drunk driver, and I was hit into a ravine on the 54, hitting 805 South. And it took about 2.5 hours for my roommate to find me, and I almost bled out to death. My right leg was severed from my body completely. My left ankle was rotated 360. And for me, being in the canyon with open wounds that big, I lost a lot of blood. So the doctors were surprised that I actually didn't bleed out. Mm-hmm. And then also catching the infection from just animal feces and stuff like that through the dirt. Because I'm in the canyon, you know where the 54 freeway is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little journey down there.
I've gotten an accident there.
I was going straight, and all of a sudden I was on the first flight out. Man, I thought I was going to Vegas or something. I seen lights, and boom, I was out. Yeah, so that was the beginning of the struggle for myself. Yeah. I ended up catching an infection from being down there. So when I got to the hospital, the journey of surviving was on. And my body wouldn't shut down. I was up throughout the whole thing. And it took me away from, a lot. The accident really just wiped my life, my slate clean, and just brought me to a whole new reality. So I spent about 4.5 months, 5 months in the hospital, flatlined 3 times. I was not only going through all that, but in between when I would be off the medication and all the painkillers, see my family be by my side. At that time, my parents lived in Vegas. I funny story about that. So I moved out to Vegas to fight MMA. Let me go back a little bit. So I moved out to Vegas to chase my dream to fight MMA. And that was a journey on its own, but I won't go too far back. We'll just start there.
But at this point, you were an amateur MMA fighter.
I was reaching, I had a couple, debuts. And it was the journey was to extend my career, and I got accepted to be in a great camp, and it was badass. It was great. But at that time, I was dating an ex-girlfriend that I loved and I still to this day, she pops in my head. And she's actually, her and her family have a lot to do mentally for my success of where I'm at now. Yeah. And we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
I come back, I'm rushing back to try to be with her. And the decision that I made to leave Vegas with everything that I had a great job working for a production company, filming reality TV shows. I had my fight career. I created a great network in Vegas. But I gave it all up to sleep on a couch in San Diego and work at a golf course to try to reconnect with her. But that distance from Las Vegas to San Diego, I felt something wasn't going to happen, life-changing. Either I was going to have a kid, a different career choice, all these things, but did not think that an accident that size was going to happen to me or my life being in jeopardy. But I felt like something from the distance. I drove in a little Ranger, 4-cylinder, putting back to San Diego with no AC, no radio, through the desert. I was able to have a lot of time to think. And I remember having this gut feeling that something was going to happen. Like, it's almost like you're about to get in a fight in high school, and after school, you're going to meet that, you're going to face off. So you're just waiting for the clock to go off and just nervous. Well, that's what I felt. Like, I was waiting for the bell to ring. Mm-hmm. So the distance from Vegas to here, I felt something's going to happen. 2 months being in San Diego, that feeling went away. Life came to me. I realized she went off and moved on. And I had to just gather my pieces and move forward. Day before New Year's, that feeling instantly came out of nowhere. Boom. I was like, oh, shit. Like, why is this happening to me now? Whatever. Driving. And there it was, lo and behold. There's a reason, God put me in a position to one day wake up and miss this person so much that I had to rush back home. And when we decided our own ways, it was like, oh, okay. Whatever, as best as we possibly could. But that's got me to the position where I was at. The accident happened, spending, 4 months, 5 months in the hospital. I was trying to make a connection and kind of went the window. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
No,
but you were told at that point that when you're in the hospital, your family and everybody came.
Okay, back to it. I'm sorry. Yeah. So the connection of seeing my family there hurt me. My mother and father was in Vegas, and they stayed in my condo that I had, and I came back here. They my brother Lewis is the first one to receive the phone call of how bad I was. But he didn't want to scare my parents. He said, oh, he broke his leg. So come down here and take care of him. So when they came down, they were introduced to the show. Okay, now this dude's like in a real bad position, and you know, we're gonna stay here and be by his side. So in and out of my surgeries and stuff, I would see my mother and father, and I put them through so much, you know, and that depression got to me. Mm-hmm. They're already up in age. I was an oops baby, have two older siblings, and they're three, but the closest that I am to them is like a distance, 12 plus.
Oops baby.
Yeah, so my parents, yeah, I guess it was an open bar at a wedding one night, and then they still got, I don't know, they tell me different stories. But so just to know that, you know, they already did the best they could to raise all of us, and they finally felt like, hey, we're done, the kids are doing good, and here I go, I had to go throw in the one last hurrah into the mix and regenerate their batteries. And my mother and father, they were my energy to get better, and I felt like I took a lot of their energy to just be there next to me. So that's also kind of the reason why I strive to do a lot of things now, just to kind of show that I'm not here for, I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for a reason. Yeah. But so that situation, you know, it really hit me with depression of, you know, what I caused to them. And then reality of like, okay, I'm not fighting anymore. They said I'm not going to walk again. What am I going to do in my life?
So you were told you're never going to walk again.
Doctor told me, she looked at me in my eye. It was funny. So I don't know if I can mention the doctor's names, but one of the doctors I'm really good friends with still, and we party, and he's a great man. So there's two teams of doctors. The first original team that took me in, UCSD, they have a bunch of student doctors, and they kind of like, it's like, they play pretty much, was it doctor, does that work? Surgery? Yeah, but with humans. Yeah, operation. Oh, yeah, exactly. But so these doctors originally, they looked at the situation, and they wanted to amputate my leg. They're like, oh, let's just stick a fork in it. The kid's done.
Yeah.
This other doctor that was there, he overheard the situation. They kind of threw it to him. Like, hey, what would you do in this situation? And he looked at it. And from what he told me, that he was actually going on vacation after he was done with that. He was going to wash up and go ahead and go. And he was going to be on. But when he saw the situation and he saw the way the doctor was reacting, it bugged him. So he turned back around, came to my room, knocked on my door, and he approached me after the first original team came in and told me, hey, at 12 o'clock tomorrow, you're going to surgery, so tonight you can't eat the whole spew.
Yeah.
they told me, we're cutting off your leg. And I felt that feeling when I was in the canyon, like a Vietnam vet, like I was nubbing it. Like my hand was on my femur and I was just kicking, like,
and it was completely off.
Yeah. It was under my butt, like off. Like, wow. They put it this way. They gave it to me like a baby, like a Cabbage Patch kid. I was holding it. Yeah, it was gnarly. Excuse me. So when the doctor came in, he taps on the door and he walks in, and he's a young black doctor, African American. He's like, he's a young blood. Can I talk to you for a minute? And I'm crying, and I'm, you know, thinking in my head, what's going on? So me being so stupid, I thought he was a nurse. And I answered back, I'm like, wow, what, you know, and just like whatever. And I told him, I'm getting ready to go for a run, like trying to like be smart with him, right? And he comes up to me when he gets close to me. And this is the reason why I think now I believe in a lot of energy. When he got close to me, his energy overtook my negativity, overtook my feeling of what's the word I'm looking for? Just the negative vibe. He just washed it off of me, put his hand down. When he touched my hand, I felt like everything would be okay. And he told me, hey, these pill, you know, want to chop off your leg, but I think I can save it. And in my head, I'm still thinking like, oh, this nurse is on a sick one. But he's like, I'm doctor. And I was like, cool, nice to meet you. He's all, I can't promise you I can save it, but maybe we can fuse it. So at least you have your leg. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm going to be like JD from American Me. I'm ready to play some handball.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had hope.
Knock on wood.
Put some shellac in it. Yeah. So I had hope. Maybe some girls actually give me a chance. You know what I mean? I have to take my leg off in bed. You know, it's normal. Cool. I get a second chance. But the determination, once the doctor said, you know, we'll probably save it, in my head, I was like, I'm going to walk again. Even if I limp, I'll be out there like a, you know, like a pirate. But somehow I'm going to get around. And with his connection and my connection, like, sparks went off. And this is it. We're going to do it. So he told me, it's going to be an uphill battle. It's a journey. And it ended up coming out to, like, 28 surgeries later. more or less. Now, that's when the uphill battle became, and everybody kind of embraced the situation and said, let's rock and roll. And it wasn't only me. It was my family, my mother, my sister, my nieces and nephews, everybody, a part of the crew that was there to support me. And we went on. And that's when, it's kind of weird, that in those weeks that I was there, it prepared me and taught me so much about life and the importance of life, the stuff we overlook. Everybody's caught up in material things and trying to be successful, meaning big car, beautiful women, fancy clothes. Realistically, the important things to me were my family, my friends that stayed by my side and drove from LA to visit me, that stayed in my hospital bed every day after work. And I would have a group of friends, friends I grew up with and I love dearly. You know who you guys are. Lionel, Vanessa, Toe, Deidre, like, my friends would bring ice cream and sushi. I had friends that called me that I met once at a bar having drinks or at a house party. Friends I haven't talked to in years via through Instagram and Facebook. They knew what was going on.
Yeah, so and good, strong support.
Strong support. And it was amazing to me to really see in numbers how many people I affected in life, or they would call and take the time to either visit me. My girl Apple, she came, I haven't seen her since high school, and she came and she rolled up and cried next to me. And all that to me, it means a lot to me. So with the depression going in, naturally with the medication I was in and realistically knowing that there's a 50-50 chance here of me walking or not walking. Okay. Now throwing in the hospital, emergency surgery 27, 29, and I believe 17, 20, well, there's three bad situations where I ended up flatlining, and that's when, you know,
during the surgeries
yeah. I remember waking up at one and all of a sudden they're like, oh, he's up, like it's like normal, oh, he's up, and they just put me out, and that was the one that got me, and I ended up going to convulsions and like freaking out. And I remember being in the hospital, getting out of the surgery room, everything was fine, I was really thirsty, and then a nurse looked at me and she's like, oh, you don't look so well. She walks calmly around the curtain and books, he's here. She goes and she hits the doctor. The doctor comes back, and I just remember everything just went away. But my hearing was still going, and I heard code blue. And I woke up in ICU, and the only thing I see from the, you know, when I woke up, I don't know if they were giving me the shot at that point or how they revived me at the situation. But when I look over to the right side, I see my mother crying into my father's chest. And that was like the point of, I told myself, like, whatever happens, I'm gonna bounce back. Like, this, you know, I'm a fighter. I mean, this shit ain't gonna phase me now. I was already playing victim too much. Oh, sorry, me, you know, whatever. No, after a while, I was like, I gotta do something about this. So I started really just absorbing the I'm gonna do it. And I think that's where that little trigger, whatever triggered that, kind of, it's still manifesting itself to my transition of becoming an entrepreneur and everything else. It's kind of, it lit up there.
Yeah, give you that fire.
Yeah, so it, all in all, what I'm trying to put into to my rambling is that the situation, like I like to tell people, God put me in this situation for a reason. The accident, almost being taken away, something that I overlooked and thought I would have forever, and something that money can't buy. You know what I mean?
Pain was for a purpose.
Pain definitely was for a purpose. And everything that went along the way, seeing my parents, not hearing them, because sometimes when someone tells you how much you hurt them, it kind of goes to one ear or the other. But seeing it, there's times I close my eyes and it really just, it hits me, you know? My mother kept my father strong. My father kept my mother strong to the situation. And that's what made me realize that family is very important. And another thing is, one day, I want to find somebody as strong as my mother is to keep me strong, because the day I'm going to have kids, and who knows what the situation will happen. And that's the importance, to find something that can balance you out and keep you the strength. But people don't catch that. People are too busy right now looking for the hottest chick with the biggest butt, or the girl that everybody's bragging about. Not the one that can cook and clean. Not the one that's going to take care of you. Not the one that's going to look out for your best interest. And that's where God said, Eddie, you're special. You're different. I'm going to give you something that you're going to run with. Or whomever that was giving the higher being, the higher power, gave me the knowledge. The knowledge is the fact that when, you know, all this suffering's for a reason. And all the suffering I'm continuing going through is for a reason. And everything I'm picking up and seeing, the importance, the beauty, the realness is what I need to hold on to and grasp, and also share with everybody that's willing to listen. From the youth, that's my biggest key, to anybody that's out there. You know, people think what we're caught into, like I said, the big booties and the hot chicks and the girls in downtown, that's not what it, you know.
That's fantasy land.
Fantasy land. And
so now you've taken all that energy and you've put it into business. And yeah, I wanted to share that story because you were told at one point that you didn't even know if you were going to survive. You didn't know if you were going to walk. But then you put that energy in, all of a sudden, you know, I see you training for MMA again. and then you started doing racing.
Racing Baja,
know.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're doing all this stuff that the doctors told you that you would never do again. And you know, you're just kind of showing people, you know, God's grace. Like, hey, man, look, this is what I was told I was never going to do, and I'm back.
And that's the best thing, is that I think everybody likes the underdog story, you know? And I just know that, well, I've always been an underdog, one. Two, the best thing is that energy, you know, keeping positive and wanting to visualize something so bad that there's nothing but it happening, you know what I mean? And that's everything that I've done. All the goals from getting back on the mat, I visioned myself getting back on the mat when I was in a wheelchair. I would tell people.
How long were you in a wheelchair for?
About a year.
Hey.
There
you go. As we knew we were going to have
a few. Who is that? Hold on 1 second.
Man, I apologize. Look at you. Look, you got massages and all kinds of stuff.
It's my massage therapist. My bad. Could you tell him that? Not today.
Right. There you go. And that's how we roll here at the annual.
No, it's not like that. It's just because of the injury. It's my cousin visiting from out of town. So because of the way my injury is, I just the way I walk, I have a lot of pain. Every day I wake up with a lot of pain. I don't take any drugs, any drugs prescribed from the doctors that I don't take. I barely take Tylenol from time to time. Yeah, I barely take Tylenol from time to time. But it was suggested that I should get stretched out and work some knots out. And I was like, nah, I really don't like people touching me unless, I just don't like it, you know what I mean? So I'm just fed up with the pain. So I'm taking on the idea and see what happens. But excuse me for that.
So now you're, you know, when I met Eddie, we're going to rewind it a little bit too. When I met Eddie through your brother, Tone, which is a tattoo artist. I met him at Nitty's over in Mission Valley. And I had approached him because I was doing this art show / toy drive.
I love it. Love
it was in 2011, I think. Yeah, I Love That Neighbor.
The first one or the second one?
I think it was the second one.
That was a fun one. We actually...
That was over at the shop, or at the spot in Barrio Logan.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
And Tone was one of the first ones that was like, man, I love the whole idea. I love the whole concept. I love what you guys are doing, taking toys down to kids and TJ. You know, me and my family are all about it. What do I need to do?
Right.
So you guys both came in and you guys were partnered doing some clothing stuff at
the CTC. Yeah. And it's still going on. It's his project.
Yeah. So you know, that's how I met you guys, and you guys were so amped up to do some good in the hood and to bless, you know, my nonprofit. And it was a beautiful thing, man. And
I think that was the seed that kind of grew our relationship into other future projects.
Yeah.
And it kept momentum and positivity and right for the right reasons.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't for that, I mean, I don't think the other things we accomplished or we were able to be involved in wouldn't have been in play, like Children's Smiles and all the other things. So it was a huge blessing to be a part of it that time. And, you know, everything you do, Ruben, I definitely want to take this time to let you know, dude, that, and at least into my eyes, bro, you're a founding father and the movement in San Diego. You know, you educated me about a lot of things and motivated me in a lot of ways. And you didn't even know the story at the time. And I felt that, you know, everything that you were doing is for the good for the people, bro. So I know from the bottom of my heart, for my family and I, we appreciate everything you've done, and we still continue to appreciate it, bro.
Thank you, brother. That means a lot. Especially, you know, your family is such a tight-knit family. I love your family. For those that don't know, when I was doing my Heart of Loteria show, your house became my headquarters.
Yeah.
It was our production office for like a month and a half. Yeah. So, you know, your mom's, you know, making us food and bringing us coffee and
panecito,
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it was
cool, man. It was a blessing. But so Eddie went into you were doing CTC clothing, then you had started doing the most clothing.
Yeah, DTM clothing. DTM clothing was pretty much, if you're gonna do anything, do it to the fullest. You know, don't be 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And I really used the name from a situation I was in.
Yeah.
Even before that, the fighting situation, I was told I was too small and have the opportunity to go to Vegas. I went all in. I'm going to do it. But it's pretty much doing the most. You know, just do it. You're on borrowed time. God can come down and give you 100 days and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you 100 days. You need to be healthy. 100 days, man. That 100th day, you're dead. But you're dead for forever.
Yeah.
And most people don't see it like that. We don't live to be 100. We live to be 40, 50, 60 if we're blessed, you know? So doing the most, it could be used in any way. And I think it should just motivate people to actually go out and pull the trigger. So that was the concept behind the brand. I didn't want to come on the brand like all these brands coming on with a cool, catchy name and a logo and let's do it. I really wanted a movement. Yeah. I wanted to find the niche, the movement. But realistically, I wanted to use that to educate people and be a fun project. Didn't really want to see it as a moneymaker because realistically...
It's something inspirational.
And that's what it was. It was to build a bridge to open up networks with other like-minded people and to share stories. And believe it or not, with that, I was able to hear a lot of people's outside or their inside of what they interpret the name and their belief into what it is.
And there was a lot of other stories that came out of that,
and
too.
And I love it. That's what that's what I wanted to do with it. And
I remember going with you to the Agenda show. We went to the Agenda show.
Yeah, that's right. That was a great time.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of other people. And when you explain the story, people, I mean...
bounce back.
Yeah, they love it, and everybody has a motivational story.
That was a great time.
So, and then now, on the business side of things, now you have Iron Mule Armrest.
Yeah.
Tell me the whole concept behind this, because when I first heard you're doing this, I was like, dude, this is pretty ingenious, because I never really heard of anybody really like taking that on. Like, you know, it could be a cool side project that people do, whatever, but you're taking this whole thing on.
And right.
You got the shop here, you're hands on, you're doing
it. Yeah, we got employees. Yeah, we just got back from New York. See, the clothing was actually, so let me speed back. When I was healthy and had good legs and I was broke, my brother Tone Chingon, which is definitely he's my best friend, and both of my brothers are my best friends, and just one's like the big brother, like the dad that I fear what he says, but I'm like, man, I want to show you. And then the other one, Tony's like kind of like, yeah, fuck, look, everyone's doing it. He's like kind of like my teammate, you know what I mean? But I noticed we're all alpha males, so we can only be around each other for so much. We absorb each other's energy, and I appreciate my brothers and my sisters so much. I love them because I learn every day from them. But how the concept came about, it's so funny about Iron Mule, and it all goes back to the hospital. Okay, so I started, before the hospital, I would go around. Tony made some prints of his artwork, and my parents were struggling at the time, and we were kind of low on cash. Really low. Open the refrigerator. We couldn't even eat, you know, quesadillas. There's no cheese. And it was bad. It was bad. It was in like 2000. It was way back when the economy crashed and everybody started realizing like, hey, it's looking pretty tough. So my brother's like, hey, you know what? Go sell those prints. And I earned your mom's bed. I made a bunch of them. So I did. And I went from shop to shop selling prints.
At tattoo shops.
Mm-hmm. But I didn't know what to expect or what to price them. I really didn't know what I was getting myself into. But it ended up manifesting to what it is today, the education, the knowledge that I was able to receive, and to actually see the market being raw to it, being blind, not being influenced any which way. I was kind of just, I need to make money because we're hungry. So I go and I started going to shop. I started in PB, and I go to this first shop, didn't know what to say. I pattered in front of the shop a few times. I walked into the tattoo shop, and I was like, hey, man, you guys want to buy some prints? And I look around, and there's flash everywhere. And I was like, oh, some of this stuff. And I was like, oh, let me see what you got. So I pulled out my brother's stuff. The guy was in love with it. He's a man, he's an amazing artist. Well, it's my brother. And I was like, hey, you want to buy him? He's selling a set. And the guy's like, how much? I was like, I don't know. Throw me an offer. Then he looked at me. He's like, are you sure these are yours? And that's when I was actually first sized up. Like, respect. Hey, are these yours? Like, you know, I want to buy them. I'm not going to support you if they're not yours. And I said, yeah, it's my brother. See? I even pulled out my ID, and I showed the last name. And the guy was like, all right, cool. And then he's like, $5 each? I was like, sweet. There's like, you know, five. There's a whole set. I think it was like seven pieces. But he only picked up four. So like, sweet, $10. I'm putting gas in the car. Then I went to the next shop. So I go to the next shop. I'm like, these are sweet pieces, bro. And I told my brother was. He's like, oh, right on. And he bought them. He said, how much you want? $20 each? I said, yeah. And I was thinking $20 for all of them. So he put 10, 20, 30. And he actually made 100 something bucks. And I was like, oh, this other guy got me. I got bamboozled. Right. You know what I mean? So I got educated about not only there's good people, you know what I mean? They're going to respect the industry. But that same good person to be facile with him and protect himself too. And you know, so I started liking this. Ooh, daddy like. Okay. So we're making quick money. And then I came back home with like, I think $700, $800. And I called my brother, I'm like, bro, people like your stuff. At the same time, though, I'm expanding his name. I'm expanding his artwork. And the movement started.
Which is super dope.
Yeah, he is. I'll give him that. Yeah. He got, dude, that guy got all the genes. Good looks. He got the arts. So someone had to get the money-making skills.
He's smart and handsome.
Hey, I'm taking that one. I'm not too bad either. What am I, chopped liver over here? No. So, yeah. So I called him back. Hey, Canan. Boom, you know, people are liking your stuff. And he's like, right on, dude, keep on going. So I called some girls, Dana, that lived in L.A., and I said, hey, you got room? She's like, yeah, cool. I'm going to be in the Amtrak. I'll be there in, you know, an hour and a half. Got there in 4 hours and drunk as shit. But that's a whole different story. That's where the journey, and I got excited. I was able to experience, you know, like going out to L.A., being on the Amtrak. So I just, this high became of me, like, I wanted to get into this industry.
How old were you at this point?
I was about, like, 17, 18 years old. That's when, before I moved to Vegas. Like around 17 years old.
17 years old.
16, 17, yeah.
You're dipping into the tattoo industry.
Right.
Your brother's an artist and tattooer at this point too.
And it was in the beginning before reality TV shows were a fact. I remember we ended up, later on, had the opportunity to work at Huntington Inc. inside the Palms Casino, and that wasn't even thought of yet. You know what I mean? Tattooing was still a little underground culture on its own. Either you knew about it or you didn't know about it. That was it. There was no like, oh, you know, let me introduce it to you. No, it was just, it was. And also another thing that I respect is that my brother was raised and got his apprenticeship in an old school shop, a very respected shop. And it's kind of funny how everything makes a full circle. The owner of the shop that gave my brother an opportunity to apprentice out of his shop, Monsters out in PB, was the first person to buy my concept armrest at a big tattoo convention. Called Ink and Iron. So that's kind of like he supported my movement and also gave my brother his you know, his step to the industry.
So he gave you both.
Both in a way, yeah. So
yeah, that's important, man. Someone to give you your first shot at doing something. It's always, I think it's an important key factor in doing something. Someone to believe in you and be that first person is important.
It's very important. And then he had a name to back him up, and also the knowledge that he gave to my brother, and my brother to this day. He's an old school tattoo, you know, the whole, he earned it. He has a tattoo in his hand, self-made, because he earned it. I would be times when I was a kid going to the shop, and I would see him sweeping the floor, and these guys would, you know, make a mess on purpose and try to break my brother, and I'd be like, Canan, what the hell, dude? We're better than that. And my brother's like, nah, dude, trust me. I mean, when I'm done with this, you're going to thank me one day. And the old school ways that he was taught on me. And I pretty much went to the same schooling he did, and he would educate me.
Hard knocks.
He was getting educated. And that's what kind of manifested to what it is now. And the respect that I come across with everybody. Like, my brand, I don't want it to be just a product I'm trying to dab into the tattoo industry to make money. There's a lot of money to be made. But realistically, I want to make a name for my product to be designed for tattooers, by tattooers. Everybody that has their 2 cents, or people that have been tattooing for X amount of years, or well-respected amongst my community. And we do have some heavy hitters in our circle, you know what I mean? We got Chancho and people that I consider friends of the family. Flox, you know, my brother, all these people that I never want to know that, I mean, that I'm affiliated with them, you know, I consider them my friends. I would never want to come out with some dog shit and embarrass, you know, sorry, sorry, some product that make me look bad. So I keep that in when I'm designing it and through the whole thing, I do keep that into play. But
do you get tips from these guys
all day?
Hey, this is what you can do better. This is what you should do different.
Yeah, our armrest actually got developed in 2011, and we worked the kinks out in 2000, 2013 is when we came with a full concept. Okay, this is it. But I took a break for a while. That's why I started DTM. Realistically, I started DTM to fund the money to start the campaign to make product and get in the tattoo industry. So when I went to LA, I ended up making about $1,200, $1,300. Came back and I gave my mom the money, and at the time I was well needed. And that's where I thought, okay, one, and you know, not giving any ideas to anybody, but just the way it all starts. It's Uncle Sam didn't know. So I was making cash in hand, you know, and so I was like, wow. And maybe a young kid walking around $1,000, like, yeah, that's dope. But realistically, I went back to the family and everything else. The light bulb went off. And it went off to me, and I wanted to be up. I wanted in. Not for the money, not for the money aspect, the what I learned on the road. Matter of fact, on that journey, that one of the persons that I met was, and still to this day, you know, he's the West Coast godfather, Mark Mahoney. I met him walking into a shop, and I was tired, and he was able to talk to me, and I loved his style, you know, slicked hair, greaser, talked really quiet, he talked with authority, you know, and I was like, dude, this dude's bad. I met characters along the way, and I was like, man, this guy is dope. And later on, I found out who he was and how big of a, you know, of a person he is in the industry. I was like, man, he respected me, he sat me down, he was cool, he wasn't, you know, like, hey, watch out. No, he was like, what's up, man? And it felt great. And I ended up running into him at a show again with my brother. And I told my brother, I met some guy, Mark something. And I was like, Mark Mahoney? I'm like, I think so. And I put him on, matter of fact, it's him. And my brother's jaw dropped. And me and Mark see each other. And he's like, oh, hey, what's up? So it was just meant to be. It was just one of those things that were meant to be, that everything's kind of falling into play. I actually came up with the first concept of the arm rest when I got out of the hospital. I drew it out in the hospital. When I got out, my brother Lewis, my dad, my sister-in-law, everybody in the family kind of jumped in and helped out. And we got the idea from my mind onto paper into reality. And that was the platform. Yeah,
where is the, I know I was here earlier. I was trying to find one. You were going to pull one out for me.
Oh, I can definitely pull one out.
You got one?
Yeah, I'll pull one out later. Yeah,
we got to
take some pictures.
Definitely. All right, so we just took a quick break and actually brought one in.
Yeah, I had to assemble it in the back real quick.
Assembled it real quick. And you got a bunch of pieces in the back that you've been working on. And,
yeah. Well, everything comes raw metal.
So, you know, I'm sitting here like trying to figure out. Well, I didn't even know you had all these crazy skills to do all this stuff, man.
Oh,
so
you know.
This is crazy. Now I'm going to be hitting you up for everything metal.
Heck yeah. You know what? A slogan that we like to use, it's American made with Chicano labor.
All right. Oh, yeah. There you go, man. I'm going to start using that.
Oh, you're welcome.
With Mexican parts.
Yeah.
So from the concept from the beginning of it down to the padding.
Well,
tell me, because you're saying you got it's by artist for artist.
Right.
And everything from the swivel, everything, how you're just explaining it to us. Sure. How, you know, everything from doing the back piece to where how it extends the skin when you lay it a certain way.
So, okay, real quick about the company. The reason why I say by artist for artist, by no means am I trying to claim myself as a tattoo artist. First and foremost, it's very important, and I want to respect the people that actually did the correct stages to become a tattoo artist, their apprenticeship, and earned it. Yeah. So therefore, no. But the reason why it's by tattoo artists, for artists, because everything that we do, we put it through a trial period with real artists that I respect that actually put it through the ringer. Yeah. And then they come back and tell me. Matter of fact, one of my friends that enjoys putting it through the ringer and scolding me for it, I love it. My friend Nemo, he just got back from Hawaii. He was in Old Ironside. And my boy, he told me, oh, yeah, you want me to rock and roll it? I'll rock and roll it. I'll beat it up. And he did. So that's what I mean by tattoo. So it's for tattoo artists.
Let's pull this up real quick.
So, yeah, I'll give you the explanation about everything while we have it up here.
Yeah.
So, real quick, everything that comes into our shop.
It's going to get a little noisy right here.
Let me put this bad way up there.
Because look at this.
There she is. So, everything about this comes in as raw metal. Everything raw metal.
Yeah, I was seeing you had it all
from
cut
the
up
wood.
In the back.
Yeah, everything comes in raw metal. We actually make it. Once you order one, we actually pull the metal and we make it. There's nothing really sitting back there. For the reason one, I couldn't afford it to have just some just sitting back there. So we would actually take half down and build it and then pay it off the rest. But now I decided to keep that momentum going with, it just makes it a little bit more special. You design, you order one, we make you yours, and it goes off. So, believe it or not, everything.
So you do custom paint for anybody that wants.
We could do custom paint.
Some
we
candy
actually,
apple and some.
There's one right there. If someone could Jimmy, could you pass me the one that...
Oh, this one?
Yeah, let me see that one right there. That's actually Checho. So sorry, Checho. I've been so busy, bro, traveling and stuff. Matter of fact, he helped me design another piece that it's his design. But
Big Checho is one of the top premier, top-notch tattoo artists specializing in portraits here in San Diego.
He's an amazing artist and an amazing person. And actually, yes, he's known in the car game, too.
Yeah, yeah, he does lowriders.
He's a good dude, and I really appreciate him. And that's one of the guys when he was able to actually give me...
And he's an amazing artist. Dude. Yeah. The stuff that he's done for my art show is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, hands down. He can run with the
did
best.
Did he do that one, drunken one where the dude's leaning against the bar?
No, he did the El Barril for the Loteria show.
And then the wrestler that was all tired. Then he did
the Heart of Lucha, and then it was like a ring, and then it was like the Sacred Heart with the angels. He did that.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that piece.
Did that the piece with the yellow background with the kid that was on the bike, and he had the big mask.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
He's amazing.
That's Well, Checho's a really good friend, and I appreciate the time he took to give me to educate me on another piece that, you know, only artists would know. And, you know, I'm the fabricator, and actually not anymore. Now I'm moved on. But to create the product, me and my best friend Edgar, we jumped in there, we designed the product, and we're able to put his 2 cents into what we needed to do. So he suggested something that was for artists by artists. So that's what I'm the definition of our standing in our company is we really want to take the inside of what artists need and want. That's what we're in business for. We're in business for, you know, the artists. These are tools. They're not just oh, it's an armrest. These are tools.
Just the way that you designed it, it's more than it's just an armrest. It was thought with them in mind.
Yeah. All our products, it's a quality tool for a quality craftsman, and that's what we stand for, you know. For example, down to the legs being able to separate. That's very important for the artists that are traveling. Even though it's a little heavier, we do offer a traveling armrest. It only weighs 5 pounds, has the same features, but it's not really meant for long periods of use, just to make your money on tour type thing and get in and get out. But this bad boy right here, for the artists that are able to travel with it, the legs do come apart, or if they're moving shop to shop, the legs do come apart. The features, let's jump into the features. So it has a 3-legged prong. The way they're set, it's the most sturdiest armrest out there. Oh, yeah. And if you don't believe me, please buy one and test it. And if it's not sturdy, then I will refund your money and put a sticker in front of your door. So that way people will be like, you lied. But no, it's one of the sturdiest ones. Watch somebody actually. That'd be pretty cool, though. You know what? I'll be a man of my word. Yeah. Let's do it.
So what do these go for?
These go for $289 with a lifetime warranty. So if anything happens to it, as in functioning, some people are dirty and really don't take care of their stuff. So scratching, not my deal. Ripping the material, not my deal. If it's after 6 months, then it's not, you know, if it's under 6 months, I'll take it because maybe it's just a defect. But everything that can hold you back from making money, from the hardware inside all the way down to the bolts, if anything happens, screwed, cracked, whatever, you call me, ship it back to the warehouse, and we'll send you a brand new one, no questions asked. The reason why is that since we create all these things, I could disinfect everything and sell it as a refurbished one and let it be known. And also, it gives me an opportunity to come back and see where we made a mistake. That's one thing about me as being a business owner is I'm always open to finding ways to adjust and better my product. Because if I'm not worrying about it every day, my competitor is. And now I'm starting to ruffle up some feathers. So
is there a lot of competition?
As of right now, no. But there's competition out there with a lot of money, and I don't have that. Yeah. So they can beat me to the punch as in making something better. You know, getting stuff CNC'd and gas scale throw. Mm-hmm. But you know, I ain't sleeping. I'll tell you that much. I ain't sleeping.
So where did the name Iron Mule come from?
Well, iron, you know, it lasts. It's metal. You think, you know, working iron, smashing hammers, you know, big skyriser iron. And then a mule is made to work. A mule is made to last time, you know, to beat it up and really get the best of it.
We got all kinds of, we had some madness in the back. And that's the beauty about being on the road and doing this kind of stuff on location. Never know what's going to happen, man.
If you actually,
what's crazy is just on you know, coming here, right outside of your place here, there's a DUI checkpoint.
I told you.
It was pretty, it was pretty crazy. And
Let me talk.
Right around the corner, there was some crazy police activity going on.
All day.
Right around the corner over here. And
a couple of weeks ago, an amazing artist from San Diego, a good person, actually had an opportunity to meet, got his life taken away up the street. You know, and it's just one of those things that San Diego, you know, everybody thinks it's beautiful, palm trees and Free Willy at the zoo. I mean, at the SeaWorld water park. But no, there's some, you know, patches,
some madness.
And this is my backyard, man. So I'm blessed where I'm at today.
And so are you originally from San Diego or
born and raised? Vegas? No, born and raised San Diego. My heart, a piece of it's still in Vegas. My
National
family's
City,
out
right?
there. Yeah, National City, Chula Vista area. I was blessed to be. My family's from National City. And a lot of my great friends are from National City.
The roots.
Yeah, the roots are from the city. But since I was a younger one, one of my siblings got jumped into the gang. And my mom said, So she took us out and moved us into Chula Vista, which is a really bad mistake. Not really being familiar with what's going on. She took, you know, out of a place where he could be safe or as safe enough to put him in the heart of the lion. And that kind of helped the evolution of us as individuals. Yeah. But like I said, everything happens for a reason. But yeah, so I was able to live best of both worlds. I ended up growing up majority of my time in Eastlake, which is funny because everybody's like, oh, preppy. Matter of fact, some of the biggest criminals I know lived out there.
But just only different type of criminals.
Yeah, it's just those guys had very expensive cars and hot wives and girlfriends, and they all knew about it.
Different type of criminal.
So I was able to be exposed
to them. On the business side, before we get too sidetracked. So tell me, you've had this company for 8 months now?
Okay, yeah. So the product got invented in 2011 when I got out of the hospital. We worked on it for about, you know, a year and a half. And then we stopped production or actually just stopped playing with the project because of funding. And that's when I tried to start the DTM thing. I could, you know, make some quick cash and dump it into here, but it didn't work out that way. I even had an investor, but it didn't work out. It just wasn't my time. There's a lot I had to grow as a person and understand.
Yeah.
So along the time, I learned business. I learned hustle. I learned sacrifice and all that. And then so we decided to go full force with it. I decided to go full force with it. 8 months ago, and in 8 months we're already in two large distributors in the West Coast. LA, you can find distributors in LA, Worldwide Tattoo Supply in LA. We got Shining Light in San Diego. We're found in Hawaii. We're found in I wish I would have printed out. There's so many names. I wish I would have printed
Australia
out.
Australia too.
Yeah, we're Australia, Hawaii, Canada, Puerto Rico, New York, Texas, Arizona, Jersey.
Nice.
Yeah, so we're spending and it's a small period of time.
And you've sold about 500 of these.
I don't want to talk numbers, but we're moving. We're close to that. We're moving units. You know, it's been a blessing. The cool thing is this: is that like in 8 months, And I don't want to discourage people to support me. Listen, guys, I really put a lot of time and effort into this, and I really I have overhead, you know. So I don't think, oh, you do the cranky, the numbers. Oh, you know, a lot of it I spent and lost with trial and error. One, two. No one funded this program. It was me selling my truck, sleeping in my warehouse, getting rid of everything that I had that was no need to me to put into this. So pretty much now I'm paying myself back to try to just be normal again. You know what I mean? To have money in the pocket and take a girl on a date.
My hat's off to you, man. That's some real entrepreneurship.
Thank you.
Sacrifice it all.
To gamble big. I mean, to win big, you have to gamble big. And
that's what they say.
And the thing is, I had a lot of faith in product. I've had a lot of faith in my product, and I have a lot of faith in my team. And then hands down, for the people that started with me, Natalie Torres, Edgar Corona, like my mother and father, my grandmother from her grave still found ways to bless me with money to this. My beautiful tia Marina helped me out. A lot of people have helped me out with either motivation, small finances. Hey, mijo, here's a couple $100. And I would hate to take it, but I would kind of calculate the money. And as soon as I got the money, I'd pay them back off. I'm like, well, thank you. But because of them, I was able to put a plant, the next stepping stone. And
that's part of that support system.
The support system. And it's beautiful that my family believed in me. And the beginning of this, they thought I was crazy. Even my brother thought I was like, arm wrestling. I wouldn't lie. But as we started really, really putting the things together, he's like, you're onto something. So that's one thing I always look to him for advice, because he's in the industry. He has a good name in the industry. And he is one of my mentors, to be honest with you, in the industry. So a lot of the concepts back to the product, you know, what separates us, and what I always turn to the artists to get feedback for, like my brother and all these amazing artists that we mentioned tonight, are the features that my product offers. One, it's, like I said, it's American made with Chicano labor, and we stand 100% behind it. Majority of my competitors get their stuff done overseas, and it's not quality. And I'm not talking bad about it, but anybody that's in the industry knows stuff from, you know, different countries, right. Not made with...
Yeah, it's different quality. Plus,
a lot of these tattoo supply companies, people are trying to tack in and make money. You know, let's buy low, sell high. My product's pricey because it takes a lot to make the product, you know, to buy the material to do it, the labor. And also, I got to make some small profit, and I think that's what it's worth. I'm not overbidding it. I'm not underbidding it. I'm being honest, straight across. I'm on the level, you know? So I think my product's not the cheapest, but definitely you could say it's not, the quality is as equal as the price, and you're getting what you pay for.
Nice. And so how do you go about promoting this?
Honestly, I didn't want to piggyback from the connections that I have too much. I wanted to win them over by them actually appreciating the product and appreciating what I'm giving to the community, I mean, to the tattoo industry. I'm not trying to tap in and make money and pull out, because some people would think you didn't put your time and effort. But I've been in the trenches, going to every city, selling my brother's flash, learning and educating myself about the industry, hanging out at the shop as a hang around. And then eventually I worked at a tattoo shop. All these things started coming into play, and I realized I was exposed to a beautiful life, a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful life, a lifestyle. You know, tattooing is a lifestyle, being a part of it. And my brother took the leap, and he became the artist. And he's always been a better artist out of everybody in the family. But I had something to contribute to the game. So I decided to make a product and stand behind my product. And we have other products in work. Everything that we're doing is for the tattooer, by a tattooer.
So right now everything's been pretty much word of mouth.
Word of mouth, Instagram, Facebook. Instagram is huge, and I was actually against it at first. I was like, man, no one's really going to see it. And da-da-da-da. Before you know it, I wanted to expose and do videos, explain the features and, you know, all that, and let people feel the energy. But the product was it's been doing so well by just people looking at the picture and knowing and seeing, like, hey, I see quality, I want to buy quality. And that's a good feeling. Yeah. My sales, before we started into tattoo supply companies, majority of my sales were sold by Instagram. I think one or two off Facebook, but majority off Instagram. So thank you, Instagram. And thank you to everybody that's been supporting us thus far, that's been buying our product. And I still keep relationships with a bunch of them via through Instagram. We talk and we follow up. And I appreciate every single one of you guys. And like I said, in all my videos and everything that I mentioned, my guys appreciate it so much as well. So if it wasn't for you guys' support, I don't think the confidence that we have today would really be as strong as it is. You know, starting a company in the beginning, it's very nerve-wracking. You know, people are going to like it. Or do you see something no one else sees? Or then you start questioning yourself too, like, what the hell do I know about it? Maybe I'm just making something out of my butt, you know, and all these things, the doubt starts coming in.
Well, how important is promotion on social media to
very important, right? Well, pretty much, when's the last time you bought something from watching a commercial?
Probably at Carl's Jr. Burger or something.
Yeah, but when's the last time you had interest in buying or doing research on something you see on Instagram or Facebook? That small little commercial you see on Instagram, on Facebook, kind of gets you like, oh. If you notice, next time you have a conversation with somebody, it's not like, oh, guess what I saw on CNN. You know what I mean? No, especially when they took off How to Catch a Criminal or Chris Hansen Daily News. No one talks about that anymore, but those are good shows. Anyways, I guess I'm getting too old now. These are the cool shows now. No, everybody real quick will mention, did you see what's on Instagram, see what's on Facebook, or the infomercial on Facebook? It's quick to the point. So that's the future of anybody that wants to market for cheap. It's free. It's to your advantage. You just got to have a good team of graphic designers, probably a videographer, and really have a direction of how you want to market your stuff.
Is there anything special that you do, like certain hashtags or certain like tagging? Or
you know what? I'm not really into the hashtag game. Like, really, honestly, my social media game is not that on point. I have people do my stuff for me, but after a while, I started having friends that would do my stuff, and then girls would comment, and then all of a sudden, they went from doing my stuff to doing my stuff, and like I was like, hey, all of a sudden, this girl's like, I talked to Eddie, and I'm like, I've never met you in my life. Nice to meet you. Like, oh, we had a 3-month conversation. I'm like, oh, well, I wish I was there, but missed it. Yeah, but now I actually hired somebody, Robert Johnson. He's really good at that, and he's a good friend of mine from high school, and he kind of came back from out of the blue and jumped in and said, Eddie, this is what I do, and this is what I can do for you. So he educated himself, and he actually does it as a profession, and he's very professional about it. So I brought him on board 2 months ago before I took off to New York. 2 months we started talking, but before I took off to New York, he really jumped on and helped out a lot, and so it's a good relationship. He's going to do all my social media marketing and marketing in general. There's other things like you can use for like Google and how to climb your rankings of being armrest, all this little cool gadget wordplay stuff. Dude, I didn't graduate high school, bro. So to me, when he told me that, it blew me out. I was like, yeah, sure, you do it. I just, he started telling me all this thing. I said, hey, how much at the end, bro? Okay, if I can afford
bottom
it, cool.
Bottom line.
Yeah, so bottom line, what's up? Yeah. A 12-pack and 2 tacos or what? He said X amount. I said, oh, shit, let me think about this.
Yeah, think twice.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you mentioned going on tour. You just got back from New York, and now you're heading out another leg of a tour.
Yeah.
And you're calling it the Struggle Is Real Tour.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
About the name or about
the
tour?
The name of the tour.
Actually, the name, I got it from a really good friend. She would say the struggle is real. And when I told her about me staying inside my warehouse and me being, sacrificing what I had, she's like, the struggle is real. And I said, yeah, struggle is real.
And that's for real. We're chilling. He's got his food in the fridge here. It's real.
It's real. Staying in my bed's a couch. Yeah, what's awesome? You should have thought. I can tell a girl, come to my warehouse. I have a kitchen. I have a living room. Trip. They come. It's only one office. Like, where's all the stuff you promised? Well, you're standing in my kitchen right now, but if you turn to the left, you'll be in my living room.
And it's real, man, because I think, sometimes, everybody wants to see, like, the glitz and glamour of being an entrepreneur and without seeing
the
struggle of it. And this is where you're at. So, I'm blessed to be here to catch this part of your journey,
And I appreciate it. I'm blessed to be a part of this journey. And you're 100% right. A lot of people see success as the guy with the chain and the Ferrari. Yeah. It was funny. A friend of mine, we were talking earlier today, and we were talking about how everybody's interpretation of success is the guy that's popping bottles in a Ferrari with a chain that some music video, being in some music video. Yeah. But they're not known that car is a rental for the day. Yeah. That chain is not his, belonging to some jewelry company that's running out. All that stuff's being exposed. That guy probably woke up in the projects, 2 weeks before. Yeah. But now everybody thinks the glamour is him. A lot of these artists, everything we see on TV is, a joke, but that's what people portray success. Or another thing that gets me is these guys that are doing these Ponzi schemes, like selling these herbs, things. Because you wear a suit and tie and you cruise around and you use big names or use big words that you're taught. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I learned a lot of cool marketing things from that stuff because I got bamboozled and sucked in. But I was able to say, this ain't for me, so I pulled out. But that's what a lot of people think. They get suckered into these things because the guy that's telling them about this is walking around this video on a mansion saying, this could be you if you sold 50,000 of these or get 7 of your family members to do this. So people think that's a business and they, you want to do it. All that, maybe there's success in that. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't for me. But people see success as, the big fancy house and that car. And if I do this, I can get that. To me, my success is that I actually had a dream in my head. And it's being accepted into an industry that I have a lot of respect for. And it's a man industry. This is for men, You're a man of your word, you better hold your word. And bad news travels fast. Even though, put it this way.
It's a big industry, but it's
small. And everybody knows everybody. So for me to have something to go against a big sleeping giant like that and to be accepted thus far, right now, with, hey, come on in, To me, that's success. One. Yeah. Two, to be able to grow my company and where it's at in a small period of time. From like, you know, let me remind you, I did not graduate high school. School wasn't for me because I wasn't being taught something that I wanted to really dive in. And
the odds were stacked against you.
Yeah, it definitely was, man. I didn't know if you go to college, you can learn cool stuff. And it was like, no, I didn't know.
But you did get a certificate in welding?
Yeah. It was the only thing I finished.
The welding is real.
Yeah, the welding is real.
I was man, I didn't know you had all this metal game. This is good.
Sure, listen, let me talk.
Good stuff.
No, so yeah, man. And so to me, that's success. And I really want to build a success story I was telling a friend today that no one really wants to hear your story without the success at the end. If not, it's just a story and everybody has stories. So I'm striving to accomplish some sort of success that everybody could, you know, see at a level. Okay, yeah.
And relate to.
But realistically, I think the success is actually in the story. It's in the pudding. It's in the recipe. That's where the real success is, where, damn, you went from up to down, losing everything, to back up to, you know, that is, to me,
journey, the roller coaster.
People to respect me for getting to know who I am and my product, that's success to me. But when I die and I leave this earth, when God's done playing games with me and says, hey, let's go, hopefully my legacy will stay behind and it'll motivate people to go and try what they want to try or to really spark some fire under somebody that could change the world forever, you know? Yeah. Maybe my story would be just a small thing, and that's, to me, that's success. It's not about, you know, all that will come. My mother said, if you work hard and you're good at what you do and you stand behind it, the money will come. You can put your price to it and people will pay.
And that's for real.
And my grandfather said that as well.
Some wisdom.
Yeah, and my brother Lewis has a very successful construction company, and he lives by that. And it's awesome to hear people say, yeah, he's pretty pricey, but you know you're going to get good. And that's, to me, I see it, you know what I mean? My family, they're my heroes, and what they tell me, I kind of bounce off of them, and it's worked for them, and it's definitely been working for me, so that's success.
And coming from a family of, entrepreneurs, would you say that having a mentor is important in what you do?
Definitely. And the thing is, you can't only just have one, because, you know, I'm different. So like I said earlier today, my brother Lewis, he's the you know, off the hip, like, this is the way it is, and stand by your word, and you know what I mean, and he's that man. Not saying my brother Tony is, but Tony's a dreamer, he's a thinker. Yeah. He thinks it, and then he goes and chases it, and he gets it. So I was able to be the small puppy that hung around. I got best of both worlds. So I try to apply. I know when to pull what card when, you know. And sometimes I ask, you know, like, you see those stickers, what would Jesus do? Like, what would Lewis do? Or what would Tony do? Or sometimes, like, what would my mom do? My mom has an amazing story with my family that's visiting from north. Our parents used to work in the fields. And they worked in the fields at the time where the movement was going down, you know what I mean, where it was. It was crazy. So we came from a bloodline of working people, and we came to this country. My mother came to this country and with her family to plant a seed for the best of her family, for her family here. Mm-hmm. And I don't take that in vain. I'm making a movement to grow. My cousins are doing very well. Everybody in my family, one of my cousins is an engineer, works for the state. My other cousin, he served for the military, army, and he also worked for the state as well. And our parents worked in the fields. You know what I mean? So I am, you know, I'm a small entrepreneur, and I'm proud to say my family was at one point what Donald Trump was talking about. And as a matter of fact, I switched to New York and I took a picture holding my logo in front of Donald Trump. And I hope you don't win. I hope I see you in New York one day so I can slap you in the back of the head and knock that toupee. But that's my feeling towards that. But yeah.
So what is the importance of a mentor? And is there anybody you're mentoring?
As of right now, I have a project that I really want to work on, but I little want to just kind of tap into my mentors. Mm-hmm. I have mentors. One person that I've had the opportunity to meet, and I haven't talked to him since, and I've been wanting to, but one person in the hood that I really appreciate would be Bobby from Tribal. I really like
one of the smartest guys I know.
I really love the movement, and I heard his story. And when I first met him, I knew a lot about him. from doing my research and hearing people, you know, and to finally meet him to now, he's nothing but awesome and nothing but great. And I hope one day he could actually kind of mentor me for reals. But he's kind of one of those guys that kind of idolized in the way of, you know, he did it. He stayed to his guns. He stayed in root, and it's benefiting. And it took a while, you know what I mean? It took him a while. He is where he is today, and he's respected the neighborhood. That's one person. My brother Tony, huge mentor of mine. My brother Lewis, my mother and father, like in home, like I could turn to these people. My sister, these are the people I could turn to because they have their own success stories and their own struggles, so we can actually bounce back. It's not only because they're my siblings, but they're actually walking proof, you know. Yeah. And to me,
on the business side of things, I know, you know, you'd mentioned some people in the past and some people that have helped you actually get a start.
Yes, Ruben Torres. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm kidding. No, I do appreciate you, though, because you did teach me a lot about three things. One, making a network of people that are solid. And you brought in good people. And you brought me into your network. And you taught me that first time. The third thing is you had a vision. And then most people, your vision was different. And you had people that were with you and people that were against you. But you never tried to win people over. You just stayed focused and trucked through. And then everybody that was supposed to be a part of it fell in. And they didn't fell out. And I learned that. There's a situation where I want to try to prove win everybody over so we could go and tackle this project together and be on the same level. But you waste so much energy and time to do that. You just kind of said, no, this is what we're doing. I've seen you in shows. It's like, dude, you're hanging up paintings until like 5 in the morning, whatever.
Yeah, that's
and I admire that. The third thing is I love the fact that you help everybody. You open up a door. You want to know, hey, check this out. You need so-and-so for shirts. This guy. You're always networking for the right reasons. You're spreading your success or your drive or your energy to benefit others. And that's what I picked up from you. And thank I appreciate you.
I'm
that.
I'm a serial networker.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy, dude.
Yeah, right? Serial networker. Yeah. No, man, but thank you for the kind words.
And
but,
I take it all back with this kind of creepy.
Yeah, just erased everything we just said. But, I always say, it's important to have, mentors and people to kind of, clear the path in some ways and kind of show you some of their mistakes and whatnot. But also, we talked a little bit earlier about
the project,
the purpose of doing stuff and the why behind it. But you mentioned a project and something that you want to do here to help kids and help.
So I
need you to talk about it because it's a big deal.
And this is something that actually this is my next step. And I think I'm more excited about this than I am about trying to get into the UK with Iron Mule, like straight out. That's cool, whatever. But this right here, this is my backyard and this is what I really want to do. So I want, I weld and I have some sort of, I guess, idea of how to start a business and get it going. I want to start a workshop at that orphanage that we were blessed to be a part of a few years back. Children's Smiles. What was the real name? It's on C Street. Children's Smiles. I definitely want to be able to, they have this program. They from between 18 and 25, they kick the kids out. They kind of just, hey, you guys got to go. What I want to do is start a workshop by introducing these kids to different trades, as in my friend. One friend's a great chef, so I want to bring him to talk about his culinary journey. Friends that are barbers, friends that are welding like myself, t-shirt lines, whatever. Start a workshop to introduce these kids to different opportunities, different possibilities. Let them hear our stories so that way maybe they could tell us, hey, I don't want to do any of that. I want to be a horse trainer. Then I'll go find a horse trainer to come and talk to them and see if they can be mentored by the person they want to learn a trade and allow them to not feel feel bind to just stick with me. If they want to hear what they learn from me and then go off and learn something about the culinary, maybe this person's going to learn a little bit about me, learn a little bit about the chef and spark the interest to become, owner of a restaurant or to be a blogger about a restaurant, whatever, but it's just pretty much to show these kids what I think they should be doing in high school is that there's other things you could do with your life. There's trades. Everybody has a talent.
Motivating them to bring that
to find their spark, their niche. Yeah. So I wanted to start a campaign and then let them shadow, you know, then come to our warehouse. I'll teach them the basic fundamentals of the first steps of welding, the safeties, and all that. Talk about the business aspect.
Being a mentor.
Being a mentor, yeah. But allowing them to be exposed to things that no one's really taking the time to show them. And to show them that we can be young, cool, and hip. Like, my spot's chill. Like, everybody comes in here. We have lowriders. We have everything you think of comes through these doors.
The graffiti artists.
We have a race car back there. It's just, everything's here, and it's
a
cool.
You had a boat.
Boats, and, you know, it's like...
I got to remember the name of the place because it wasn't Children's Smiles. Children's Smiles was the organization.
Yeah, organization. But I forget. And I was talking about it today, and it blew. I have it
on my thing somewhere.
But. We actually had a cool video. Remember? Yeah, it was an awesome, good time. And that was a good time.
So Eddie and I and a couple other people, Jason Stewart from Epic Fighting and that kind of
stuff. Hallie and Caesar from DTM Clothing.
So we had a chance to go to a kid's shelter and... And it was pretty touching, man. We went there. We got to hang out and kind of distribute some clothing and
good
and,
vibes.
And, yeah, and just hang out and talk to the kids. And it's crazy because you see babies having babies in a sense. It was like some like
crazy
14, 15-year-old girls there with babies, and you know they get kicked out after a certain amount of time,
and it's sad.
Yeah, and it's not a place that they can stay. It's just a place where they can go, take showers, get a meal, and. And then they got to go.
It's just a little a hangout place for a certain time. I think they allow a certain amount of numbers in, and the rest they have to really put back in the street. Yeah. But what's sad about it is a lot of these kids, when you hear their story, it's not because of drugs or alcohol. It's just terrible upbringing. Nice.
And that's one of the things we got going on here at Iron Mule. We got some craziness going on outside.
Somebody started a motorcycle.
People are like fixing cars and doing all kinds of stuff.
Building choppers.
But it's cool, man. I mean, that's the beauty of being... you know, on location and doing stuff, you know, because this
it's
is real
role.
Deal.
It is what it is. And that's one thing I love to be. I mean, I love to say I'm a product of my own environment. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it is what it is. You see what you get.
Yeah, if we're in a tattoo shop right now, you'd
hear your machine. And I love that sound.
The beauty of it.
Yeah.
But so, here, you know, here we are. We're, you know, in a warehouse and there's people working all around and we're doing it. And this is for real.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, but we had the opportunity to go and hang out with these kids, man. And it's been a blessing to be involved with what you guys are doing with your family
you,
and everything.
Thank
and
thank
so,
you.
Like, you know, everything always kind of boils down to that because, you know, here you are talking about being a mentor. And then when I first met you and your family, you guys came to my event to help me out, get some toys and stuff to take down to TJ. So it's, you know, kind of one big circle here.
Honestly, you your life's a story, you know, and once you're dead, everybody reads your story. And no one really stops and really thinks about what you've done that's good or bad, right? But the thing is this, is the energy that, like, okay, when people hear my story, I want them to know the good that I did for my community because that back boils down to being success. Because my people... is what helps me every day. My friends that help me get to the next level, that take their time to tell me about business, that tell me about, you know, the correct ways of approaching in the industry. These are my people, and if I could see something to help them or their neighbors, it's just to help the overall. I had a cool saying that came to me the other day, and I really wanted to put it on a sticker. It was, it'll come to me in the conversation. Before you go, maybe you can hashtag it. It'll be my first hashtag.
Right, there you go. So what's the best piece of advice that you've gotten so far to this date as an entrepreneur?
The best piece of advice is this. And excuse my French, but there's an ass for every seat. Meaning you could tell 5, 10 people and be like, no, it's stupid. But if you really think it's good, you're gonna go and you're gonna find, for one, take the structure, the criticism in as gold, because they're telling you what's wrong with it. But also, keep on trucking until you get that one. After you get that one, you'll notice that 2 and 3 and 4 are right behind it. So just stay true to your gun. The best advice I can tell anybody is don't be afraid to fail. The best advice, do not be afraid to fail. When you're failing, that means you're trying. When you feel like you're not doing the best, but you're giving all you got, keep on going. Before you know it, you're going to break through, and everything that you felt that was holding you back, it's going to just help you slingshot. Think of success like being a rubber band. You're pulling it, you're pulling it, you're pulling it. You don't know how long it's going to stretch. But yeah, it might snap. You can tie it back together. Keep on pulling, pulling, pulling. But once you pull, once you break that, that barrier where you lose grip, it's just going to fling forward. And that's what I kind of felt Iron Mule has got to. And I've started a bunch of businesses that failed. You know, DTM did, went up and down. And I didn't really know what I was doing about the clothing game. But I took the knowledge I had from that and I put it into what I'm doing now. Right. And then other projects I've worked on that didn't really hit, you know, that didn't really hit.
Yeah, it takes some failures to make some successes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one thing Donald Trump did say, and I'll give him that. Okay. Yeah.
No, he's a smart dude.
He is. But that's one thing I would definitely say is just don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on trying. If you're passionate about your product, if you're passionate about what you're doing, and you're sincere about it, keep on going, and success will come. If you're chasing something for money, if you're chasing something for the spotlight, it's going to not go to your favor. It's going to blow up in your face. It's going to blow up in your face, and you're not going to like it. But if you stay true to what your hustle is, true to what you're doing because you want to make a difference, you want to make a change, like what I'm doing right now, it's, I love it. I love it. I love what I do. I get to hang out with awesome people. I get to travel. I get to be exposed to like-minded people, you know, be exposed to great artists, hearing their struggle stories. I love it. Going to a shop, you know, you can have your sailor mouth and it's different. It's an awesome place to be. And I have a blessing to call it my second office. And I get to go to different shops across the, you know, well, there's other shops where people are just a little, the world, you know,
it's a different world.
But there's a lot of good people in this industry and I'm blessed. And I, they fill my vibe when I come and I talk about my product and what I want it to be and what I want my company to stand for. They're willing to support me. And to me, that's, you know, it's priceless.
Yeah. So, you know, now you got this building, this company, and you built a brand, it's taken off. Where do you see this brand in 5 years from now?
You know, I have some ideas for it. I definitely want to come out with a lot more larger furniture. I really don't want to mess with machines because I'm not a tattoo artist. That's one thing. If you're not a tattoo artist, you can't make tattoo machines. You know what to expect, how to hit. Even though I'm learning, I would never dab into that. I want to focus on making larger furniture, making it more easier for artists to travel, to be able to see the world, but do what they love to do and take their tools with them. So we've worked on a traveling armrest. All these things that I'm working on, I want to make an impact in the industry by making good quality tools that are really used. No. They're actually offering more than just what's available. And you got to keep in mind, this industry has been around since the first depression and survived. You know, for me to bring something in to change the game is kind of a, you know, in my mind, it's like, you know, that's pretty dope, man. Yeah, and I want to continue doing it. But the only people what I say about it, it's one thing. But these are what people are telling me, you know, and this is my feedback from my customers, for the people that I'm working for, the designs that I'm creating. It's come back from them. So to me, actually, that what I just said right now was actually exposed to me from another gentleman, an older gentleman that's been tattooing for a long time. And I never really, he put it in perspective for me. And I was just like, wow, damn, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I wish my mom was here to hear that.
Yeah, but, that is kind of cool.
But yeah, so I try to replay that and mimic that because it does mean something to me. And that's dope.
Now you're going to create some custom microphone stands for...
Who knows, man?
Some connected...
Who knows? Yeah, exactly.
Stands. Friends versus foes microphone stands.
You know what? One thing I do want to do eventually in the future is create a respect in the industry that holds with all my product. And eventually I want to franchise and offer... There's someone here, and it's funny, there's someone here in San Diego that does it, but my brother and I thought about this idea years ago. Years ago, because me and Tony used to lay on our back and brainstorm ideas back and forth with a little motivation in between. We just sit there and just motivate each other and just be on it. And we thought of this idea to bring the service of supplies to the door. And once we caught wind that somebody was doing it, and he's doing really well, SD Tattoo Supply gave, he's doing it. And I would never want to step on his toes. But it's an idea that I had way back. But what I want to do is build a product and a name for myself and actually start a franchise to certain cities that don't provide that. Since San Diego was beaten and I would never step on toes, and I respect that, and it's in the name San Diego Tattoo Supply, mm-hmm. I'm thinking I want an Iron Mule franchise where I sell them the van loaded down with products that's created by us or approved by us, and it would be able to be door-to-door service.
And I think that, I've seen that truck, that big.
Yeah, like big as this. It's old ice cream. Yeah. And that's an idea that I had a long time with my brother Tony. Well, once we heard it was happening, it was, we looked at each other like, did you leak it? Maybe I leaked it now and someone's going to move me to the punch. Touche, whatever, but it's a great idea. As long as it helps the industry, you know, it helps the artists out, then so be it. If you have the finances to do it, so be it. Just don't forget to buy an Iron Mule product to keep in the vehicle. But that's something, you know, later in the future. Definitely right now I've been striving to think outside the box for my future. I'm 28 years old, and I definitely want to hit retirement soon. Not retirement as in sit back and get fat, because I already did that. I just want to just more focus on being able to be financially stable to raise a family and meet a girl and actually provide a future. So that being said, it's easier said than done. So every day I sit here and I contemplate or I strategize what I'm going to do. I'm a thinker and a dreamer. So what I want to do is actually move out of California, keep my company here, and then base an office out of Nevada so I can broaden my market. Nice. And I want to look outside of moving somewhere where it's, the mortgage is in my reach. So I'm already planning for the future to that extent. And wherever I find will be suitable for me will probably be the first destination. We'll try that van tattoo supply on the go concept, you know. So, yeah, my wheels are always turning. Where Iron Mule will go in 5 years, it's gone so far in 8 months. Let's see where it goes in another 8 months.
Yeah, no. So you did the New York tour. You're getting ready to head up to L.A.?
I'm heading up in L.A. I'm going to be...
doing some Northern Cali?
Actually, our first stop was San Francisco, and that's where I met the owner, Rock, from Worldwide Tattoo Supply, and he's the one that gave me a break on buying a big bulk, and he's seen the price. So, true story, I get to San Francisco with the last, like, $5 in my pocket. I convinced a bunch of artists to get together, and we all put in for the booth, and we went up there. It was game time. It was make me or break me time, where I'm going to expose myself to other artists that aren't my friends. You know, sometimes friends tell you things. They're like, oh, it's great. Oh, I hope he doesn't really think of the solos. Yeah, well, these are, you know, raw hit raw. So I went in there, and the first 30 minutes before the doors opened, I sold out every single armrest.
Nice.
And I took 8 total, and I felt so good to get that feedback. So the rest of the weekend, I was networking and making friends, and I met Rock, and I bugged him to come to the booth like at least 100 times. He pretty much came to the booth to shut me up, like, all right, fine, okay, I'll go. But he was really nice. He didn't, you know. So I'll go check it out. And he comes, he sees it, and he looks, and he showed no interest. He just looked at it like, okay, all right, well, I'll get back to you. So I came back, and bills started piling up, and I'm like, all right, what am I going to do? What's the next step? I'm broke. And so I called him up, and I said, hey, what's up? I'm Eddie. Remember me? He's like, how can I forget? Hey, what's up? How's it going? And he gave me a break. He gave me a shot. And he got me the first big order that I felt, okay, this is the company's maturing into this level. I've dealt with smaller tattoo supply companies buying 5 or 4, you know. He went straight up the hip and bought a good amount. Now, you know, it's grown since then. And so San Francisco was my first impact, and it felt great for the company, and it felt great for me. Second was New York. I went to New York. I was in New York, and ran into a lot of good friends out there.
And you got a new distributor out there
too. Yeah, it's Unimax. Unimax with Wes. Me and him kind of, it was an awkward start in the beginning, but I have a really cool picture of him and I looking at each other and I'm smiling. And I think I kind of,
I've seen that. I was wondering what that was about.
I kind of freaked him out because I mentioned jokingly. I was like, he's like, oh, you know, something about, oh, I told him, hey, I was kind of broke. Okay, so I'm in New York, and I, some company that we buy material from double charged me. So I woke up with X amount of dollars, like, all right, I'm cool. And then when I went to go pay my Uber, I was down to like $8. And I'm like, ugh. So it took a while to get that money back to my account. But anyways, I sat there broke. And so I was worried, like, how am I going to get money? So I go in to meet up with him. And so I meet up with him. And he was really upset with the fact that I gave him the, I mean, I asked him if he could start selling my product. You know, can you sell my product? You know, can you buy my product? And he was interested, but he never got back to me. So I decided, hey, I never been to the East Coast. We just got into Australia. So I was like, man, I need to take care of, you know, United States first before I start going overseas. And plus, I never been to New York. I wanted to, you know, bring my company to the West Coast, coast to coast. That was just the home, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I came out there and I started going shop to shop to shop. And it didn't go as we strategized, because we do strategy. Like, I really put everything down. And it's good not to reach your goal. That's one thing I definitely want to tap into real quick. We do strategize our game plan. We put it on paper, and we put everything into, you know, every scenario on paper, every possibility on paper, and we set a realistic goal for ourselves. And when it came down to me going to my blueprint into what really happened, I found out how my blueprint and what really happened were way off, which was good. It was data that I needed. Now, what I'm going to take into consideration when I travel for these other events is find cheaper hotel stays as I'm staying in hostels. You know, got to struggle. Another thing is to rent a driver. Like, if Uber can help you out, or just hit up Uber guy right off the bat and say, hey, listen, flat rate, what can I do? If that's illegal, I don't know. I'm sorry, Uber. I don't know the rules. But to find a driving service. Find these things that help me be mobile. This is all the stuff that I couldn't really put into to play unless I lived it. So what I did fail. For the blueprint, I failed horribly. Our numbers that we're applying on were high, and we came down to low. But the knowledge that I got was priceless. So I was able to come back and strategize for the next trip. And every trip we go, it's going to get better and better and better. So I took the failure as a lesson, and I picked at what could I do better? What could I do better? And I fixed it. So now it slims down the holes for me to fail again. But I'm probably going to fail again on this trip, but it's fine. I'm going to come back and slim the holes even more. And then the next one.
I wouldn't call it necessarily a failure. You came back with some sales.
Yeah.
You came back with a deal.
Yeah, I actually got into Texas and so possibly.
It wasn't a failure, but you went through some learning.
But see, most people think of that as like, oh man, I didn't reach my numbers, my goals. Perception. So my thing is that I what I wanted for the company, where I think the company should go, I'm very determined. I'm stubborn where I wanted to go. But where I wanted to go and where I'm at, you got to connect the gaps. And that's what I'm learning, is how can I better myself to get where I want to be? So every time I go, I set goals for myself, and it's okay to fail those goals, because now I got to figure out how to strategize and better my technique or my outlook or my approach to get to that next level. And so that's the way I see it. It's just like the failures I'm learning off of, but it's okay. And I like to emphasize on the failure, because people think fail and you stop. No,
the struggle
fail
is real.
Yeah,
the
struggle is real. It is, brother.
So you got your international. You just did the East Coast. You're going up the West Coast. And
I'm gonna pit stop in Vegas to go see my family and try to get to some guys out there.
And when you get to to Central Cali, let me know. I got some people out there.
Yeah, I would love that. Thank you, Ruben.
And actually, you're going out there soon too, right? Central Cali.
Perfect. I just found a ride.
Yeah, there you
hey,
go.
Hey, you work for Uber, do you?
So, you know, let me know when you get out that way, and I'll call people out. And
definitely
Modesto, man. That'll
people, you know, tattoo out there.
Oh man, dude, the scene is huge out there, man.
Yeah, yeah, right on. Well, shout out to Modesto. You know what? Real quick, I definitely want to see a shout out to Americana Tattoo, September 5th, for everybody that's following.
Grand opening, right?
Yeah, my brother's grand opening for his shop, and he would appreciate it, and I would appreciate it, because I know my brother's his struggle to get where he's at. September 5th, he's having a huge grand opening for his shop, and he's going to have Mitchie Slick perform, nice. A couple other bands, Low Rider Show. It's a show for all ages, an event for all ages, and it would mean a lot to him, and it mean a lot to us if you know, the support from San Diego would go out there, and from anywhere. Everybody
hitch a ride with you.
Yeah, all definitely. Right. I'm flying there. Yeah, I'm definitely flying back. Hangover.
And Tone has a cool story too.
Great. Yeah.
On when you seen him with the beard and without the beard. And
yeah, yeah.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, let him. Yeah, I can't take his thunder.
He's got a cool story on that. But yeah, man, congratulations on all your success and everything you're doing, man.
Thank you.
And like you said, I love the whole concept of the struggle is real.
Thank you.
And may the struggle continue for the most part.
Yes,
at least. But you know, it's a beautiful thing what you're doing, man. And I love the concept of the mentorship that you want to get involved in. Count me in on anything you're doing like that.
Thank you, Ruben.
I'm in on that.
Thank you.
And, you know, thank you for inviting us here to do this.
Thank you for finding me as someone that's worthy to be on your show.
No, man. I've always told you, man, you have a great inspirational, motivational story.
Thank you.
You know, not giving up, you know, not letting the depression, you know, take you over when you're, you know, down and out. And, you know, just medically, the challenges that you went through and to be where you're at and, you know, still going through the financial, you know, struggles and all
that
stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a beautiful thing, man. So,
appreciate it. Thank you.
So, you know, much success to you and you know, Iron Mule. Where can we find you?
Please follow us on Instagram, Iron Mule Armrest, all one word. Or you can always go to our website. But our website's being remodeled right now. We found a lot of loopholes back to learning more about that. So, yeah, the learning curve. So we are going to tap into that. Our Facebook, you can find our like page, Iron Mule Armrest. Please follow us on Instagram. Please tell your friends, your tattoo artists. Please spread the word and the love. And we appreciate the love. We appreciate everybody that's followed us thus far throughout the countries and throughout the states, all the friends that I've met through this journey, we appreciate it. And without you guys, we wouldn't be in this. I really appreciate the opportunity to do this because I'm not into this business for the spotlight. And when you told me it was an opportunity for me to try to motivate people, like I tried the best I could. I mean, I really am not really a good speaker. I'm not really in it to try to win people over, but thanks for the opportunity to expose who we are and hopefully people can pull out that we are for the industry. Any feedback about the product, please email me directly at ironmulearmrest@gmail.com. ironmulearmrest@gmail.com, or shoot me a call or text 619-273-4415. I'm here to make the product better for the consumer, and I'm here to make it I'm here to make the product for them in the best we possibly can, you know. So please get at me if you have any suggestions, complaints. If you want to hate on me, cool, I'll take it. I don't care.
That's how it goes. Turn the haters into motivators.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's the fuel to my fire, baby.
So I'm gonna have to get one of these from you and do a giveaway at some point.
Oh, definitely. Let me know if it's a good cause, man. I'll donate it, Ruben. You know that. Well, I'll put it this way: anything you say, Ruben, I'll give it for you because it's a good cause, brother.
No, you know, I'm just saying. I know there's a lot of tattoo artists that are up and coming, and you know, I think it'd be something cool that where we can work some kind of giveaway.
Yeah, definitely. Heck yeah.
You know, on the website or something, we can do some kind of.
Yeah, we actually work in something right now. We're actually, there's a big show, a Mario Bart show in Jersey. And I was speaking to one of the representatives. Something that I want to do is actually in trade, get these out as trophies. So I don't know if they're going to buy it. It is Mario Bart. It's a big show, but I mean, I put a lot of time and effort in this product, but to be seen as a trophy would be a highlight for us.
Yeah,
and then
cool.
For a company, I mean, for a person like Mario Bart in the industry that has a lot of these heavy hitters, I've seen the lineup at the show and I'm a huge follower of these artists, you know, and I actually fell in love with the art scene before I fell in love with, like, you know, what I could do to it. I just found my giving to the industry, but to be able to be seen as a trophy would be, my product's not only just a product, it's actually seen as what it is, you know.
Yeah.
Not that it's causing me the cure to cancer or anything, but, you know, she's my baby. I like her.
No, it's an honor to be called, you know, a trophy. You're going to win this.
Yeah, that'd be dope, right? That awesome. So that's what I mean, that would be like a high point. So not saying that we are, there's nothing, you know, let me just clear that up. It's nothing in set in stone. But when I was talking to the representative yesterday, we had a meeting on the phone. And that's one thing that I kind of pitched at them, like, hey, what's up? And she's like, well, it might be a possibility. You know, let me pass to the higher ups and amongst it. And I was just thinking, if that would just be this dope, that would just be awesome for us, you know. Yeah. So. Yeah, it'd be cool, but so cross your fingers, light a candle, pray for us. Hopefully it happens.
There you go, man. And there you have it. Eddie Amaya from the deathbed to the struggle is real here at Iron Mule. And, you know, and his journey. it's been a beautiful journey to just watch you come and go, man. Thank you. So
thank you.
Much love to you and your family and everything you're doing, man. Yeah. And you know, always representing what you do and keeping down the hometown here, man.
Always, always. So you see, I rocked the SDN in New York.
I seen that.
Yeah,
I seen that.
Sorry, I love the East Coast, but hey, man. Yeah.
So man, you know, keep doing what you do, man. You're an inspiration to all of us, man. And anybody that knows you knows your story, man. It's, you know, it's motivational. Cool. So, you know, it's one of those things that keep us all going. But you know, we got to cut it short next time.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
We can do a part two at some point.
Thank you for having us, man. Thank you for picking me to be one of your people you interview, man. It's an honor and a pleasure.
We'll have to come back and do an update.
Yeah.